I'm Jenny Galluzzo, co-founder of The Second Shift. Welcome to our podcast where we talk all things women, work, and well-being, how they intersect, our competing forces, and how to create and maintain personal and professional alignment in your life. Let's do this. This episode is so cool for me personally because this interview is with my sister-in-law, Sarah Horowitz. She's married to my brother, Andrew. I love her so much. And it's basically a love fest with me being so proud of her because she just launched a business last week called the Living Wage Institute. Sarah is a developer. She has been working for years doing data visualization to help companies who are making an impact with money and where they're putting their resources. And she just launched this company that is all about using this tool that was created by a professor at MIT like 20-something years ago called the Living Wage Calculator, and now creating a business around it to help companies understand the actual cost of living in each location so that they can pay their employees what they need to live and have a successful life. And it takes into account basic needs like food, childcare, healthcare, housing, transportation, broadband, taxes, things like that. And it's to help individuals, employers, communities estimate local wages that cover these basic family needs. And family is divided into lots of different types of families. But it's really interesting. In a shock to no one, New York City is the most expensive place and the highest living wage needed. But I definitely didn't think that Houston would be the least expensive. And, you know, how that is calculated based on like the ability to meet wages where wages fulfill the needs of a full-time worker. So this was really cool because Sarah's been talking about this for like more than a year. She's been working on this with her partners, and I definitely understood it sort of. And so this experience of having to do the research and interview Sarah, I understand it a lot more. And I think it's really important for employers and employees, because for employees to understand what it takes to live in a place and be able to negotiate your salary based on what the living wage calculator says is the way to fulfill your basic needs. And then on top of that, so you're going to understand also with people working remotely, being able to judge what you make against where you want to live is smart. To negotiate with this information is smart. And then for employers, retaining your talent, thinking about this, especially with so many people working remotely and having to figure out what you pay people in different locations, Sarah works with companies to figure out how to implement this into their system and pay people so that it increases retention, it increases productivity, and it increases your economic success as a business when your employees are fairly paid. So congratulations to Sarah. She affectionately call her a hot nerd because she is a nerd, but she's also, and she's so smart and she's such a do-gooder. And I love her. And she's also like incredibly beautiful and charismatic. So she's the whole package. And I'm so glad that she is my sister-in-law. And she was also one of our first Second Shift employees ever when she moved to New York. She'd been living in Florida with my brother and she was working for us, for me and Gina doing, and Kemp too, doing product management, sort of helping us with operations is when we were getting off the ground. And I never knew this, but in the interview, she says that it was one of the reasons that she decided to go back to school to learn how to code and to become a developer was that experience of working with us. So that really meant a lot to me. And I loved working with her and I love seeing her evolution and success. And I wish only the best to the Living Wage Institute. And if you're interested in learning more, in the show notes, there's the link to her business. You can reach out to her there. And this is all based on, like I said, this MIT Living Wage Calculator, which is free and is really interesting to dig into that data. So congratulations, Sarah. Sarah Horowitz is so many things. She is CEO of the Living Wage Institute. She is my sister-in-law. She is an ex-second shift employee, and she is the hottest nerd you will ever meet in your entire life. I love you so much, and I'm so excited that we get to launch your new business through the Second Shift podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. I love you. I don't know about all that, but everything is true. So I don't know about the hot nerd part. Definitely nerd.
You're also like a real do-gooder in the world. Like, you are committed to living your life and putting your hot nerdiness to the benefit of society, whether it's working for a think tank that helps figure out pay structures, putting money towards good initiatives, or working with the Second Shift, which was, I think, your first job? It's not first job, but first job in like New York.
Yeah, definitely one of the first, for sure. I mean, it was at the Second Shift that I, you know, through your platform and your, I believe the woman who was running all dev at the time, that I really decided that I wanted to go back to school and learn how to code. So yes, it was definitely early on, soon after
college.
Is
that true? Is that why you decided you wanted to code? I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah, well, because, you know, you had brought me on to kind of just help operationalize for efficiency, right? To get the things in order. It was right as you and Gina and Kemp were kind of getting things going. And so I did a lot of that kind of product management, product development, thinking about the platform and how we were engaging with all of the new members and what we needed to build out in the software itself to just facilitate that in a more efficient, smooth way. And so I did a lot of work with Heather, I believe her name was, who had built that kind of MVP platform. And in through all those, I loved working with her. And through all of those conversations, it was kind of this realization of, you know, I'm proposing these solutions, or we're working through kind of what these fixes are. And she was getting to then go and build them. And it was that moment of, okay, I want to go do that. I want to be the builder of the solutions I'm putting on the table. And so, yeah, it was not too long after that that I went back and learned how to code.
Isn't that so cool? Fantastic. You just like one day were like, I mean, I know that you were a poetry major and then yes. You decided, I love the storyline of just like, now you're a coder, which is also learning a language. It's a totally different language, but there is an eloquence and beauty in coding as well. And really a creative piece of it. Go back to school. You're like, I'm going to go do this. And now you are the CEO of the Living Wage Institute. So tell us the Living Wage Institute. You've been talking about this with me for over a year now, but if I still needed to go and look up what exactly it meant. So in your words, let's explain it to the Second Shift audience, because it's such a cool idea and it's such a useful and timely business to launch into the world right now.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So, you know, after going back, learning how to code, I really started focusing on data visualization and, you know, wanting to your point from before around wanting to try and take that and move that into the impact space. And so I was working at a nonprofit for the past 5.5 years. And then over the last year, I started a small consultancy with who is now my co-founder, Kavya Vogel, to kind of amplify the work of other organizations. And one of our first clients was Dr. Amy Glassmeyer, the founder and 20-year maintainer of the Living Wage Calculator, which is hosted at MIT. Dr. Glassmeyer is an economic geographer, really focused on figuring out what it takes to get workers what they need and where they are. And so that's really what the calculator has always done. She developed it as an alternative measure to the federal poverty line, which, you know, to help policymakers better understand what it actually costs to live. The federal poverty line is based on a basket of goods from the 1960s that, you know, today don't really represent what it actually takes to live in modern society. And so the Living Wage Calculator and the Living Wage has really been an alternative to that. But since she started this tool, you know, over 20 years ago now, there's been just a lot of different users coming to it, trying to figure out, okay, what does it cost in this specific place based on a given family type to actually live? And increasingly, it's been employers that have come to that resource to say, okay, you know, given that minimum wage we know just doesn't do much, right? It hasn't moved. It's not what workers need. Can we use this living wage as a benchmark to hopefully figure out whether or not we are paying people what they need to live the life that they want to live and for us to reap the benefits of that? And so it was really in that moment that we realized, okay, employers need more than just the data. They need help actually applying this data, unpacking the insights, and then figuring out what are the strategies to actually make movement here, to make progress, and to ultimately raise wages and revalue the people that they have working for them. And so that was kind of, you know, we came together with Dr. Glassmeyer. And when I say we, again, my co-founder, Kavya Vogel, who is a data scientist, research extraordinaire, she is incredible, Dr. Glassmeyer, and Scott Woods, who was with Dr. Glassmeyer 20 years ago and was the first technical implementer of the calculator. Scott has another company, Westerette, that he is the CEO of that does enterprise software for higher education. So he's already got a lot going on. But when we went to help Amy, Dr. Glassmeyer, go through the calculator and go through, you know, all of these different use cases, it was just so clear, okay, we need to do this. We need to make ourselves available, make these resources and tools available for employers so they can actually take this data and raise wages.
Is the living wage calculator as it exists a free tool?
Yes. Yeah. So the living wage calculator, livingwage.mit.edu, has been there for almost 20 years. And it's for those community users to go and look up their county or their state. It provides an estimate for the living wage for 12 different family types. So ranging from a single adult with no children, all the way up to two adults in the home, one working, one not, and three children. And it provides an estimate for what it costs to live in that given county, in that given metro area, in that given state.
Yeah. So if a client works with you guys, how can they build upon that information? Like, what else are they getting from that data?
Right. So the first thing is the data itself, right? Like I mentioned, it's available on a row-by-row basis for the public tool. And so what we do is we take all of their locations, the locations of their remote employees, and we match it to the data, giving them the best estimates for their workforce. So they can start with that benchmark, that living wage gap analysis, to identify where are they not meeting what their workers need. And then building on that, there's lots of different things that we can do for employers, acknowledging that it's not an easy thing to do overnight. We acknowledge that this money and these resources aren't necessarily just sitting in a pool waiting to be applied to wages and to bring people up all the way to a living wage, which is obviously increasing year over year, especially with factors like inflation and all of the better data that we've got after kind of the lull in data resources after the pandemic. And so we don't expect employers to be able to make those changes overnight, but we do hope to help them on this path. And so that's really developing a strategy to ultimately get there. And so we offer things as well as like the benefits adjusted series. Well, we'll take a look at what other cash on hand benefits are they offering that could be applied to that basket of goods or those cost components that go into the living wage calculation and kind of be applied out so we can get at an adjusted number for their workforce that they can benchmark against.
Such a hot nerd. That's amazing. Just sitting here, usually I'm paying attention, but I'm trying to listen, but I'm just like, oh, you know, this is so awesome. You're so amazing. I love you, Sarah. You were talking about what goes into the living wage. And I know that there's like basic fundamentals that are the pieces that build out that living wage. What are those elements?
Totally. So the living wage estimate is the sum of a total variety of basic expenses. And there's, you know, a few different differing methodologies out there, but pretty much any methodology that you look at that's going to calculate a living wage is going to focus on the basic needs that include food, childcare for the family types that include children, healthcare, housing, transportation, internet, mobile services, costs for personal care and cleaning products, income and payroll taxes. And then Dr. Glassmeyer's living wage calculator also includes civic engagement as a cost component. It's really important, I think, for people to understand that the living wage does not include anything really beyond that. Things for like a budget for eating out, for going on vacation, for unpaid vacations, for savings, retirement, or other long-term financial planning. It's really like the bare minimum of what it takes. And I like to stress that just because when we think about, when we do these gap analyses, or when you think about $15 per hour being, you know, kind of a standard going rate, especially in the retail sector, it's so far below even the minimum wage in most places throughout the country for a single adult with no children. So it's just, again, stressing it to understand that, you know, minimum wage is so far below, but even kind of where the industry standards are really far below what it takes to have your basic needs met.
I was doing a little bit of research on this, and when you start looking into the living wage calculator, you see how prevalent it is and how often it's used and referred to in articles that are, you know, when they're like, oh, the most, you know, expensive place to live in America, what it costs to have a family. And so I was doing this research and I was shocked to find out that Houston is the least expensive place to live in the country for a family of four, like two parents, two kids. Obviously, New York City is the first, you know, not a surprise there. But also just to think about, like, you know, Houston, I think it was $175,000. And in New York, it was like over $300,000. And that doesn't even include like the basic necessities of a family and how expensive it is to live just in general. That doesn't even include like, you know, what it costs to have children, as you know, in general, and just how wildly expensive it is. And so what are you hearing from companies about how they're trying to help people besides telling everyone to move to Houston?
So we founded the Living Wage Institute with the mission of changing the way employers value employees, arming them with the resources that they need to invest in and build the type of jobs that will lead to both their businesses as well as the workers in their communities, everyone to thrive equitably. And it really starts with that first question of, are the workers at your company making a living wage? And so, you know, unfortunately, that question often goes unanswered because they are looking at macroeconomic data to drive economic strategy. But the lack of the consideration of workers and their families and business decisions has led to the reality of that we see, you know, productivity growth in the U.S. has outpaced wage growth 3.7 times. And we continually see the persistent, pernicious effects of low-wage jobs. When employers don't measure considering the living wage, they put their core functions at risk. We know that research shows that low wages can lead to operational inefficiencies due to higher turnover, lower worker engagement, worker talent attraction, and these inefficiencies lead to reduced productivity, loss of revenue, declines in stock performance, all of the things that companies are really trying to obviously work against. And so it's why at the Living Wage Institute, we really want to focus on equipping them with the right data and tools to make this question about the living wage a standard part of their strategy, right? Leading them to ultimately revalue and hire and raise wages and improve outcomes for all of their stakeholders, not just workers, but the businesses as well.
On the flip side, I wonder if it's useful for employees who are going in to think about where you want to work, how much you can negotiate in your salary, where you should think about where you're coming from, right? So if you know what the living wage is and you're able to calculate what it is for your family and you have data to back you up, you can go into a negotiation armed with not just, you know, this is what I need. You're like, no, this is actually what it costs to live here. And it would also be interesting to see if it informs people's decisions on where they might want to live, right? So if you're choosing between, if you can work remotely, or you're choosing between companies who are based in one city or another, if you're looking at the living wage and at the salary, you're going to have a better understanding of your future versus just like, you know, willy-nilly going and trying to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, you know, we've seen, again, you know, Dr. Glassmeyer created the Living Wage Calculator as, you know, to help policymakers really understand the cost of living. But soon after it was published, and you know, every year the data updated, it's those individual users who were coming to the calculator to try to figure out exactly what you just mentioned. You know, what does it actually take for me to be here? And should I be elsewhere? I'm thinking about moving. I have family across the country. What am I going to need to actually go do that? That's where I ultimately want to end up. And so it's a really, really valuable resource. And that, you know, is another factor that goes into the founding of the Living Wage Institute. In so doing this, you know, we're able to support and make sure that that remains a resource in, you know, into the future for all of these different people who are coming to it and using it to understand what they need.
So how does it work? Companies come and find you. What types of companies are you working with? And if someone's interested in working with you, how do they go about finding you? What are some of the use cases?
Definitely. Yeah. So we work with companies across the spectrum in terms of industry, in terms of size, pretty much everyone. And the first thing that we offer is kind of that benchmark analysis. There are lots of people that are along the adoption curve that are looking to use this steadily in their compensation analyses year over year and ensure that every year they are keeping up with the living wage. And that's ultimately where we hope to get everyone to. But just doing that initial analysis to understand where you fall and where your minimum wages sit against the living wages in a given area is a fantastic first step. That's what we offer. We'll work with them, honestly, to think through, okay, what are the cash on hand benefits that you're also offering? And looking at that benefits adjusted series and getting them a benefits adjusted number to compare against. It's a tailored piece of data for their workforce. It's to help them understand how they're getting workers up to, you know, a state of financial security. And, you know, the case-making piece is also a huge part of what we do, because as you know, we can put all the data out in the world and make all of the moral arguments, but oftentimes businesses have to be moved by what their peers are doing. And so putting out case studies and more research on how employers are actually implementing these strategies is a big piece of what we do. And so we'll also work with the companies who have, you know, come in the door to say, I've done this, I've looked, I only have, you know, one location in one city, but I'm using the living wage year after year to benchmark my wages to and actually meet. We'll create a case study off of that versus, you know, a giant multinational that has locations across the country as well as remote employees in every county, and show how they're able to factor this in and what offsets they're able to make to be able to bring pay up for all of their workers. So it really runs the gamut and runs the spectrum. You know, in terms of getting in touch with us, they can visit livingwage.institute. We have forms through the Living Wage Calculator. But yeah, reaching out, info@livingwageinstitute. And we set up a call, figure out where they are, what they need, and kind of go from there.
I love it. I think it's such a great and important thing. I hope that companies will adopt this. I know that cost of living, everything is so expensive. I mean, we talk about that in terms of like working women and families, how expensive childcare is, how expensive living has become, and how hard it is to balance the cost of that with wages. And it's driving women out of the workforce because of that, because it's too expensive to justify working if you're not working to cover your expenses. So if companies can use this data and make sure that you're paying people enough to do the job that they can do so they can stay at work, that seems to me like it's a huge benefit to society as well, for women, for families, for children, for everybody. Slinchy. Slinchy's my sister-in-law, as we talked about earlier, because Sarah Lynch Horowitz. Sarah's married to my brother. She's Slinchy. She's the mother of my adorable niece and adorable nephew, Sunny and Lake. You just make me so happy watching you be CEO of this company and starting this and just like going off on your own with, you're the hardest worker. You are so determined to do good in the world and to like not sell out. Even though I've told you like 100 million times to sell out, you refuse to sell out. You just insist on doing good in the world. And I appreciate that so much about you. You know, your sunshininess and your hard work and dedication really is commendable and such a great role model for your kids and our family. And I love you.
I appreciate that so much. I love you. I'm so fortunate that I'm getting to do this work. I mean, to be able to do this with three other people who I'm so in awe of. I mean, these co-founders of mine are just truly incredible. And, you know, founding this corporation, which is a corporation, but as a benefit corp, so that our, you know, it's really our mission at the end of the day that is leading all of our work. It's just so exciting. And it's just, it starts with wages, but it doesn't end there, right? We are the Living Wage Institute, and we know that getting workers to a place of financial security where their basic needs are met is our number one top goal right now. But we're also thinking about just what it means to be at work. What is the future of work? And not necessarily in terms of the technology and the other factors that are going to influence it, but in terms of how we operate and how we feel and our attitudes towards it, and what tools and resources can we develop as we think through that question for companies to ensure that people's needs are met, not just financially, but also emotionally, also from an emotional secure point of view. What can we develop? And so it feels like there is just so much on the horizon with this, wages being the first step, but there's so much more to do. And I'm so lucky that I get to do it. And so, yeah.
Here she comes, world.
Take the time.
Here she comes. This is the first step. Slinchy takes over the world and makes it a better place. I'm all for that. I am here for it. And I can't wait to watch. I love you so much.
I love you too. Mwah.
Thank you so much for joining the conversation. For more, you can follow along at thesecondshift.com. Please rate, review, subscribe, and help us make work work for you and for all women.